Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Today's obituary for March 24th, Joseph Nathan Pyle, U.S. Army, Austin. On March 8, 2022, Joseph Nathan Pyle passed away at the Sodalis Memory Care Facility in Dripping Springs, Texas, after a long struggle with dementia. He was born in Longview, Texas, on November 14, 1935, to Knox Leon and Odessa Corrine Pyle. He grew up in various parts of Louisiana and Texas. Joe was preceded in death by his parents, his brothers, Knox Leon and Benjamin Lewis Pyle, and sister Doris Inez. He is survived by his son and his wife, David and Cindy Nelson, and his grandchildren, Austin and Anna Lee Nelson. On March 26, a celebration of his life will be held at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 3525 Bee Caves Road, West Lake Hills, Texas. For those unable to attend, it will be live-streamed. The access link is https://vimeo.com/69104108. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to chariot.org, formerly known as Drive a Senior Central Texas. Death Notice, Leslie Jean Patrick Couch, Odessa. Leslie Jean Patrick Couch, 71, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 10th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, March 19, 2022. Few points. Small sports face tough travel decisions. Road trip plans made with budget in mind caused to lengthy journeys. Stuart Doreen, editor. Don't let major college football, March Madness, and name, image, and likeness, NIL, fool you. College sports, for the vast, vast majority, isn't glamorous. Far from it. Even if the wreck that killed six golfers from the University of the Southwest and their coach had not happened, the truth was the USW's golf teams would have traveled to and from Hobbs, New Mexico, Tuesday, to play in the tournament hosted by Midland College. Then, had tragedy not intervened, the members of the golf teams would have awakened Wednesday, gotten back into the school's van, and traveled another 95 miles to make their morning tea time in Midland. When asked why the team didn't stay over in Midland, Steve Appel, director of athletics for the University of the Southwest, told the Reporter Telegram in an email, "To keep it simple, we leave travel up to each sport. In most cases, with this short of travel, we usually don't stay the night. For example, in the past for baseball, we play on a Friday and Saturday and usually make the drive up each day. More teams than you think do this." This short of travel? We must be talking to someone west of I-35. Travel like that is part of our existence, and it is not always our choice. The University Interscholastic League has forced travel on schools in and around Midland, like when Stanton was in the same district as Anthony, 348 miles one way, or Midland traveled to Amarillo, 240 miles. Even this year, the UIL has mandated Greenwood High School compete in a district with a school from Wichita Falls, 278 miles, and Graham, 238 miles. But let's get back to that smaller college scene. Some programs don't have athletic scholarship money to divvy up between student athletes. Most smaller colleges and universities don't have the facilities that have become a staple at Division I programs, where there is a virtual arms race as the haves put even more distance between themselves and the have-nots. And, of course, there is the travel. Golfers at Midland College will head for the bus when it comes time to travel to Kerrville, Sweetwater, or Brownwood for tournaments this spring. That is a far cry from the Texas Tech men's schedule, where the plane awaits to take the Red Rider men to Pebble Beach, California, Waikoloa, Hawaii, Palm City, Florida, and Los Cobos, Mexico, during its 2021-2022 schedule. The point isn't to pick on the Red Raiders, but to remind you that for all the million-dollar deals for hotshot quarterbacks, there are more smaller college teams that you think required to travel nearly 400 miles over 2 days just for the opportunity to play 36 holes or compete in a Saturday-Sunday series. Midland could do more to help firefighters. Eric Stewart, Professional Firefighters Association. The La Nina tropical weather pattern and war in Ukraine, combined with our fire department's lack of an appropriate number of firefighters, could combine to seriously endanger Midland County this spring and early summer. The City of Midland has been great in funding and building new fire stations to address our city's expanding footprint. They've also been increasing the number of firefighters at the department. That is a great start. But is it enough? The City of Midland and Midland County are large, and more people are moving here. With oil prices well above $100 in response to the war in Ukraine, more will join the 170,000 counted in the last census. That is the problem. Our firefighting squad ratio to population is continuously short of what is needed. Cities around the country employ 1.1 to 2.8 firefighters per 1,000 people, but they don't have 902 square miles like Midland County. If our fire department were staffed somewhere in between, say at 2 per every 1,000 people, we would need 340 firefighters. Last year, the city budgeted for 219 actual firefighters in a 253 total member department for this fiscal year. The current plan keeps 5 to 7 firefighters on duty at a time at our 11 stations, with a minimum of 56 every day, to operate 27 vehicles. Adding 2 or more firefighters per station would be better, and a much safer number for the firefighters and Midland County residents. Over the weekend of March 5, our department responded to a 2-alarm house fire. Strong winds that are typical in La Nina patterns jumped the fire from one house to its neighbor. Everyone in Midland knows that strong winds are the rule, not the exception. Had another fire sparked somewhere, jumping houses or brush lines out in the country, a large disaster might have unfolded. Most of our trucks and on-duty personnel were at the first 2-alarm fire. Our 5-man departments put 3 firefighters on fire trucks and 2 firefighters on ambulances. Our brush fire units require 3 also, but sometimes they must do their work with just 2. This spring and early summer, we expect that the National Weather Service will continue issuing critical fire weather warnings, like they have over the past several weeks. And this may not be a typical fire season. Our conversations with Brad Smith, head of the Predictive Services Department at the Texas A&M Forest Service, confirmed that last year's wet summer with 200% above average rainfall spurred grass and vegetation growth. All that becomes fuel for La Nina when dry, warm weather precedes windy, dry fronts, exactly what we saw in the first weeks of March. Meanwhile, our staffing problems could worsen with the continuing war in Ukraine and oil price increases. Oil and gas exploration companies will respond with more drilling and will offer more high-paying jobs for able-bodied men. Over the last 10 years, the drilling companies have attracted many Midland firefighters to the oil fields. Along with this comes an increased cost of living in Midland that has driven many firefighters to seek jobs in more affordable locations. Last year, the city added 9 firefighter positions to staff the new fire stations that opened in July 2021. But our problem isn't necessarily all about the levels that you see in the city's annual reports. Our training academy produced 19 new graduates in October. Assuming that 9 filled the new positions, 10 others were replacing firefighters who had rotated out of the Midland Fire Department due to retirements or other employment. Hiring new firefighters is not enough if we cannot retain them. The city has done a good job of recognizing this situation and addressing it. They've paid a lot of overtime to our firefighters, but that has inadvertently created an extra retirement benefit, which our pension fund did not calculate into its design years ago. That unintended consequence has the pension fund struggling with the outflow of retiring firefighters and the frequency of refunding contributions to firefighters moving to the oil field or other departments. Now that city budget discussions are underway, our organization hopes the city will clearly budget to hire more firefighters, retain the ones we have, and along the way, put our pension fund on better footing. Higher wages would attract more firefighters and keep the ones we have. Midland wages for fighters should not be viewed comparably with Lubbock or Abilene. Our local oil-driven economy creates competition for workers between the city and exploration companies, not farming. It is not the same equation. In closing, I would be remiss in not acknowledging the open and positive discussions between this Firefighters Association, the Fire Administration, the City Management, and the City Council on these important issues. By working together to achieve a common outcome, Midland will continue to provide the best services available to its residents. Eric Stewart is president of the Professional Firefighters Association of Midland and a 24-year member of the Midland Fire Department. Summer Mummers fundraiser is at a watershed with changes. Don Woodward, Summer Mummers volunteer. Editor's note: the Reporter Telegram offered space to Midland Community Theater, members of the Summer Mummers board, and Summer Mummers volunteers to offer their thoughts on the recent developments. This was the only response we received. Summer Mummers. It can't be explained. It must be experienced. This is the Summer Mummers tagline, and it was adopted when members of Mummers attempted to share what it was all about. It can be explained. Few, if any, people are aware that Mummers is an annual fundraiser for Midland Community Theater, MCT. Mummers was set up as an auxiliary committee and, for the most part, was self-governing and mostly autonomous in nature. If issues arose, the Mummers leadership handled them. There are three legs to Mummers: MCT, Mummers volunteers, and Mummers patrons and sponsors. Art Cole, William Pennebaker, Norris Creeth, and Bill Pomeroy met in 1947 to create a fundraiser for MCT. They founded Summer Mummers. Bill Adams' book, Ham on Rye, Midland Community Theater Stories, 1949 through 1996, writes about Mummers in Chapter 8, page 63. We have had at least two families volunteering three generations of its members to the cause. He then adds, the first year, 1949, the melodrama ran for three weekends and was seen by 3,800 people. The net profit was $1,801. Compared to the current figures of MCT's fiscal 2019 Form 990 income tax, of the six program service revenues total of $1,151,591, Mummers gross accounts for $740,471, or 64%. This translates to the remaining five programs combined accounting for $411,120, or 36%. As for the attendance, Mummers enjoys an average audience of 10,000 plus and runs for a minimum 14 weekends. 26 years ago, a friend asked me to volunteer at Mummers. I had seen the show and agreed. I worked behind the bar for two nights. During the downtimes, several current Mummers came over, introduced themselves, and made me feel very welcome to be there. Those two nights changed my trajectory for the next quarter of a century. I have witnessed generations of families, just as Bill Adam described. I saw single Mummers find their soulmates and form lifetime unions together. I watched as Mummers brought their children to get Lady Yucca ready for the season. I have observed more rookie volunteers make a choice to come and volunteer their time and summer for many years. MCT's website, under the Mummers link, says nearly 100 volunteers each night gives collectively an amazing 13,400 volunteer hours each summer. Further on, it says, and every volunteer actor and dancer in the melodrama and Olio has given between 60 and 120 hours of rehearsal time. Volunteering is the lifeblood of Mummers. The third and most important member of this triumvirate are the patrons and sponsors. The Mummers' sponsors have donated money as well as many items at their cost. They see the value of supporting Mummers. From their collective signage to the main sponsor of the production, they are a major part of Mummers. We Mummers give them gratitude for helping in the Mummers' successes. We all take ownership of Mummers. I believe that true ownership belongs to the patrons of Mummers. This amazing group plan their summers around the production. They invite people to go and enjoy the experience. They are the foundation of Mummers. MCT's website, under the Mummers link, states, in 2007, visitors to Summer Mummers represented 8 foreign countries, 34 different states, and 136 Texas cities and towns. Further on, hundreds of out-of-town visitors travel to Midland each year to enjoy shopping, dining out, spending the night, and attending Summer Mummers. Without these people, where would Mummers be today? An interesting internal statement, Mummers in one season of 28 performances will sell more popcorn than all the movie theaters in the Permian Basin for 12 months combined. My opinion on the headline of the MRT article, What's the Deal with MCT, Summer Mummers Volunteers? This is an enormous deal for all parties, MCT, Mummers, and patrons and sponsors. I believe the issues are about change, perception, and control. Change is not bad. Change is a constant and inevitable. The MCT leadership has not asked Mummers to change, but are forcing changes due to the perception of major problems without willing to change themselves. These issues were never laid before the absorbed Summer Mummers Board, SMB, nor discussed with the Mummers body. Perception becomes reality. In the MRT article, MCT reported, the Board of Governors has also formed an ad hoc committee to create a new code of conduct that all volunteers must sign in order to participate. The perception. Mummers volunteers have participated in misconduct. The reality. All MCT leadership and staff, committees, and all volunteers will be required to sign this code of conduct. Not just the Mummers volunteers. From the same, Mummers volunteers, free rein at the Yucca has been taken away, and greater oversight has been given to this fundraiser event by the Board of Governors. The perception, Mummers volunteers have run amok. The reality, Mummers volunteers provide safety to all patrons and provide a ride home too. Control of Mummers for my past 26 years has nested with the SMB. In that time, one issue made its way to the Board of Governors, who sided with Mummers. 3 events happened to wrest autonomous control from the SMB. In 2019, an active shooter in Odessa and the last show of the season was canceled. In 2020, COVID happened and the season was canceled. In 2021, second variant of COVID happened and last 3 weekends canceled. Cumulative estimates that $700,000 to $800,000 in program revenue was lost. These decisions were at the SMB level, and even though many have been discussed with MCT leadership, it came down to the SMB level. Mummers is at a watershed. What will MCT leadership do? How will Mummers volunteers react? What becomes of patrons and sponsors? It can't be explained. It must be experienced. Now can unfortunately mean something very different to everyone. Written by Don Woody Woodward, SMB 2003, through 2011. Endorsed by Martha McCam, past president, SMB, 1997 through 2002. Connie Barnes, past president, SMB, 2002 through 2007. Tim Rossborough, past president, SMB, 2001 through 2010, 2019 through 2021. Michelle Wagner, past president, SMB, 2013 through 2019.
Cyclic vomiting syndrome. Dear Dr. Roach, I have a 40-year-old woman who is renting a room in my house, and all of a sudden, she had serious issues vomiting. Over about 3 weeks to a month, it was finally diagnosed as cyclic vomiting syndrome. She had to go to the emergency room several times, and of course, we had to call 911. I know there are several things that triggered it, and it's compared sometimes to migraine headaches regarding the neurology aspect of it. I believe she needs a dietitian and several other types of input and assistance. I think it's going to take a lot of coordination between several medical fields. As her advocate, I can assist her somewhat. I'm of the understanding that it's rare and quite serious. I really feel bad for her as she is suffering so badly. I don't expect the emergency medical technicians to be aware of this type of situation, but I wanted to bring it to the forefront so the EMTs would be informed of this and wouldn't be judgmental when people are suffering. It appeared almost that we were thinking she was binge drinking. NP. Answer. Cyclic vomiting syndrome is not a rare disease. About 2% of the population meet criteria for the disease. As its name suggests, people with this condition have repeated distinct episodes of vomiting with no other cause and are in their regular health in between episodes. The episodes are usually the same in terms of symptoms and duration. The vomiting is usually severe, about every 10 minutes during an episode. The average adult with CVS has about 4 episodes per year, but it can be much more frequent. Many people with CVS discover that a hot bath or shower dramatically reduces the nausea.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, March 24th. Fiancé's aversion to pets plants small seed of doubt. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have gotten engaged and we are being married in a year or so. Everything about him is wonderful, and I'm excited to share my life with him, except for one worry. I have been an animal lover my entire life. After living with him this past year with my two cats, I have slowly come to the realization that he absolutely loathes the idea of pets. Besides my inability to understand this, he has never had a bad past experience with an animal. It makes me question his compassion, or lack thereof, of all things living. Should this be a red flag worthy of reconsidering our engagement? Signed, Critter Lover in New England. Dear Lover, perhaps not everyone is an animal lover, but it's usually because they haven't had pets or been exposed to them. This does not mean they lack compassion for all things living. It simply means they haven't interacted with different species. However, you say your fiancé absolutely loathes pets. If you plan to have animals in your household in the future, you must have some serious discussions about it and lay your cards on the table. If you don't deal with this now, it could be a deal-breaker in the future. Dear Abby, as a frequent traveler, there is the inevitability of being seated near children on airplanes. I can't blame kids for becoming a little bit fussy. Often they seem miserably bored. My sad observation is their parents seem to be unprepared to engage their kids. When I travel by plane with my children, I always planned ahead. I packed plenty of healthy snacks, a few surprise treats and games, books and art supplies to engage them. I also talked to them in advance about the trip, the plane, who we were going to visit, and what we were going to do after we arrived. Strangers would thank me at the end of the flight for my children's good behavior. Time on a plane is a perfect opportunity to forego the hustle and bustle of a typical day. Use the downtime to have fun and enjoy special bonding time with your kids, and hopefully give the other passengers a break. Signed, Mile High Playtime. Dear Mile High, I'm printing your intelligent suggestions in the hope that as families travel in the coming months, they will be taken to heart. I'm not doing this for the benefit of airline passengers, but rather the comfort of the children involved. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with my readers and me. You may not be an angel, but today you have earned your wings. Dear Abby, I find myself depressed 90% of the time because I'm afraid of death. Do you think LGBTQ individuals are doomed after death? Will we go to hell? I'm gay, and I worry every day about it. Please settle my nerves. Signed, Stressed Out in Georgia. Dear Stressed Out, I'm glad you asked. Please stop worrying, because you are making your own hell right here on Earth. LGBTQ individuals are no more doomed after death than are straight people. The misguided individual who planted that idea in your head deserves that fate, not you.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.